You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You are listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Gabi. I work for the DC Public Library, and I'm joined today by my friends, Amisha and Madhvi. Please say hello.
Hey.
Hey, readers and listeners.
This episode is part of the Get Lit series where we discuss everything literary. And as I said, my name is Gabi and I work at the DC Public Library. Today I'm joined by my friends to talk about a really exciting and amazing community that we've created together, which is the Women of Color Book Club DC. So why don't we start off by telling our listeners how we started?
Well, do you want to introduce yourself, Madhvi, and I'll do the same, give people an idea of who we are, and then we can talk about who the group is?
Mm-hmm. So I'm Madhvi. I am a PhD student at the Zoo. I study birds. And yeah, I'm one of the founding members of the book club.
And I'm Amisha. I'm an organizer with a group called Public Justice. And Madhvi and I are also involved with a local organization that works with immigrant students called Esperanza. And we're really excited to talk about our book club.
How long have you all lived in D.C.?
I have lived here for 6 years now, actually.
I think same. I think I'm going on 7, which seems crazy.
Wow.
I know.
I've been here for 5.
Actually, I think it may have been 5. I may have lied.
5 to 7 years.
Yes. So how did this book club come about?
I think it was Madhvi who one day said, guys, I think we should have a book club where we read books by women of color.
Yeah.
It started on a sofa.
As most great things do.
We do spend a lot of time on each other's sofas.
Yeah, so we were just sitting on multiple couches one day, and we were talking about our reading lists. I think it was like end of 2016, early 2017, and we had looked at the books that we had read from last year and realized that there are a lot of white authors and a lot of male authors, and so that's where the idea came from to focus our book club on women of color and also create a space for women of color to read together.
Yeah, I think in the beginning we just told a handful of friends and met up at one of our friends' houses, and I don't recall if it was totally intentional, but once we started having this conversation, we realized that having a space where women of color could gather together to talk about books written by women of color was something really special and unique that we weren't finding in other places.
Yeah, I think what has surprised me a lot has been the eagerness and the desire for more women of color, to read more women of color authors, and the overwhelming support in terms of response to this book club. You know, people who are members and also friends of members and just people in the community who've heard about it.
Yeah, and I know from hearing from our other members and friends in the book club that I already have a lot of friends who are incredible women of color, but many of the people who are our friends don't have that or have workplaces that are predominantly white or predominantly men. And so it becomes sort of a sacred space once a month.
Yeah, and I feel like the rate at which it grew is like a testament to how important it is to some people, because it really started off as this small, like, just friends, and then now it's 25 people, and we have people on a wait list. It's like, it's so big.
It's funny because I've never considered myself a cool kid, you know, in middle school or high school, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm a part of the popular crowd because people will tell me they want to join this club that I'm a part of.
You are a cool kid.
I know. Thank We're you. The cool book kid.
Never knew I'd see the day. Madhvi, I know that, well, we're all book lovers, but can you say a little bit more about why it's so important that we focus on reading women of color authors?
Yeah, so I feel like when you read, you try to engage in the experience, and you also try to see yourself at least personally, I try to see myself in this person's writing and how that helps me process things going on in my life or learn about different parts of the world. And I think understanding the women of color experience comes through not only nonfiction, but literature. And I think it's left out in what we read in school. It's left out in a lot of popular book lists, and it's been left out in, like, for example, in high school we read Shakespeare.
Did you read Shakespeare though?
I don't know. I think I read Shakespeare. So I think, I mean, sometimes I'm just reading a book by a woman of color, and it is a whole body experience for me, where I just feel my entire life, I feel their life, and it's just, I think that's important, to give people a sense of belonging and a sense of that other people understand you and you understand them.
Yeah. I'll also add, I used to work in children's literature, and when I was there, the Brown Bookshelf movement started, and that was in children's literature primarily, and it was a call for lifting up authors of color, because it is harder for them to get publishing deals. They get smaller, fewer books published when they do get those deals, and then they're often not carried in a lot of the same bookstores that big name, established authors are. So I think we see the same thing in novels and the types of books that we're reading in this club, and we want to support those authors and get more of those stories. I think it's been really important and transformative. And one of the challenges that I think we've found is that the women of color authors and books that we see are the ones that make the big lists. And mm-hmm. we want to know about authors who haven't made it huge too. So we're still looking for more books to add.
Yeah, I feel that. And I know that during our holiday book club, like towards the end of the year, I guess I'll start by saying this. I do think that the majority, overwhelming members of book clubs get the books that we read from the DC Public Library. We are all, except for a few folks, DC residents, I believe, and always getting our name on the holds list and trying to get the books from the library. But quite a few of us actually purchased the book. And I mentioned the holiday or the end of the year gathering because we did a book gift exchange, White Elephant style, and that's when I felt like, oh, everybody is really putting their money where their mouth is in terms of getting books, buying books for, you know, whoever the gift recipient was. And I believe we didn't even say it has to be a woman of color authored book.
Nope.
But no. All of them were, we obviously all did it. Women of color authors.
Very on brand.
Let's talk a bit about what we've read. What have been some of your favorite books? I know that's really hard.
Oh yeah,
to narrow down.
It is really hard because we've read such amazing books. Of course, Homegoing was absolutely incredible. And then The Space Between Us by Tsveti Umrigar, and The Secrets Between Us, that we read this month, and we'll probably talk about it a little later, which is a sequel written 10 years later. Amazing. And then sometimes you read Men of Color. I know it's kind of cheating, but...
we make exceptions.
Exit West by Mohsen Hamid was incredible.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Yeah, I would second Homegoing. I think that's the first one that comes to my head when I think about books I have loved that I read in this club. But also, we read Half of a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda, and everyone talks about Americana all the time, which is incredible, but... Half of a Yellow Sun was the first novel that I read by her, and I still think about the characters sometimes. I think about how they're doing, you know? Are they talking to each other? What's going on in their lives?
Have they found the sister? I want to know.
The eternal mystery. Yeah. Well, I have some numbers up on my screen. We have read so far 5 books by Asian American authors, 2 books by Middle Eastern authors, 5 books by Black authors, and 2 books by Latina authors. And something that I noticed when compiling these numbers is that we've read very few international authors. Most of them are from the U.S. or now live in the U.S. And actually, when we were thinking about, you know, we really need to do some work on reading more Latina authors, a lot of these stories have revolved around the theme of immigration. Mm-hmm. Do y'all think this is something that just happened naturally because of the nature and context of our book club?
I think we have a lot of first generation or second generation immigrants in our book club, so we probably do gravitate towards those stories. But I think also with the current political climate, it is an important topic to read about, and it's on our mind constantly, so that could have also influenced our picks. And a lot of these books do an incredible job of telling you what the experience is to be an immigrant. And I would love for people to read the list of books that we've read and then make their judgments on who deserves to be in this country or not.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think when you think about the authors that we read, many of them are immigrants or have parents who are immigrants. And just, you know, speaking from, I'm the daughter of two immigrants, and it is a defining experience. You do think about it constantly, regardless of where you grow up. You know, I was born in New Jersey, and I lived in New Jersey my whole life till coming to DC, and I knew what that meant. And I thought about what other people like me were going through and whether it was similar or not. And it took a long time before I started having those conversations. I think actually it was when I came to DC and met the founders of this book club that we started really talking out loud about what it meant to have family across an ocean, or to not speak the language that mm-hmm. your parents speak and their parents speak, and
or to have parents with accents,
yeah,
navigating that world.
So this has been a really, you can't have these conversations in other places, kind of.
I think we've had a lot of discussions about parents in our book clubs. A lot of the time we talk about moms and dads, mm-hmm. and there's some crying and some love. And we actually have a diverse age group of our book club. So we have people who are in their 20s, 30s, and then we have older people. So they give us the mom perspective mm-hmm. sometimes and tell us how they react, talk to their kids. And I think a lot of books that we've read have helped me understand my parents better. Especially The Best We Could Do by mm-hmm. Di Bui.
Which is a graphic novel. It's the one graphic novel we've read from all of the other books.
It's incredible.
Is great.
Yeah. And it's been very wonderful to talk to other people about it and experience that together.
If you could talk to your mom, maybe she would say what this other person's mom is saying, who's a member of our club. But also, I think Mavi mentioned The Space Between Us by Thruthi Umrugar. I think your mom recommended that, right?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and I actually, after we read it, I sent one copy of that book to my mom, and she said she would read it with her friends. So we haven't had those heavy conversations yet, but I think we're all kind of getting closer to that.
Yeah. It's top of mind.
I have a mini book thing going with my mom right now where she kind of simultaneously reads the book club books and then we talk about them.
That's so cute. Yeah.
I love that. So you have a sidebar, second.
I'm stepping out on the book club.
But you'll never leave us. So we did speak with, we had the great honor and joy of speaking with Thruthi Umrugar just a couple days ago by phone, and she was fantastic, and it was so illuminating to hear her thoughts about the book. But in response to us kind of showing off that we had this great opportunity, we've received a lot of inquiries about joining our book club, and as Mavi mentioned, we are at 25 people and overwhelmed. Can y'all talk a little bit about why 25 is becoming a max number and why it's important to kind of have a limit on that?
Well, I think we should start by saying we were really surprised that we would even have to think about limiting the number of people. When we started, I think it was 8 of us in someone's house. We each brought something to eat, sort of a brunch style thing on Sunday. And it was, it was casual and it was small and sweet. And then 3 or 4 months later, we were up to maybe 15 people coming to clubs and just seeing so many names on emails. And I think what started to happen was that in the beginning, in the first few months, we were really meeting each other. And of course, some of us knew each other, but, Gabi brought in people that I haven't met before, and we all did that, and we were really developing friendships. And then we started seeing, when we all exploded and started inviting everyone we know, we started not really having the opportunity to connect with people and build as much friendship, which I think is the basis of the club. And not being able to be as vulnerable. So we started thinking about, okay, well, how many people can we feasibly maintain in this group and get to know each other?
I think we also try to create a space where the quietest members of our club are able to speak. So I think the more people you get in a space, the more likely that the quietest voices will get drowned out.
Yeah, and this has all kind of been trial and error. We try something and see how it goes. And then next month, maybe we try something different. So I think that's fair to say is we're still kind of experimenting and see what exactly works best.
Yeah, that I think what surprised me the most is that how quickly we set up guidelines for the book club, because I wasn't expecting to have any sort of formal structure. And then by the second or third book club, we were like, okay, let's decide if you haven't completed the book, are we going to censor ourselves? No, we're going to talk about the book in its entirety. So if you don't finish it, too bad, or don't come, or try to finish it by then. But if you are okay with knowing the ending without having finished it, then feel free to join us. So I guess I want to talk about, I feel like it's really important that we arm people with the tools to replicate what we have created, since we are so full and but at the same time really want to continue this movement of supporting women of color authors. So let's talk a little bit about how the steps to creating your own women of color book club.
So yes, we super encourage creating your own. We really want to provide all the information possible to do this, and we are considering putting up a web page so that you could just like look at what we're reading, look at how we did it, because it would be amazing if there were these book clubs everywhere. But
so, and we already have a Twitter, Women of Color WOC Book Club DC.
Yes, follow us. So basically, we gathered about 10 people together and started with we sent out an email and asked people what books they wanted to read. And then we gathered all those suggestions and we voted on the order of the books. And then we just met up the first time and we brought food and we just saw how it went. But we kind of fine-tuned that after that. So it's good. We have guidelines for our book club because we find that it helps create some structure, and it helps if some people are feeling that things are not going the way they like, they have a way to tell us.
Right, without having to be aggressive or passive-aggressive, just these are the guidelines we agreed upon, and we can revisit them.
Yeah, we take suggestions all the time, and people can add. It's like everything is in a Google Drive, and anyone can edit it. So it's very, we try to make it as democratic as possible, but at the same time, the organizers have to.
Not everyone wants to do a bunch of work.
Yeah.
Someone has to send some emails out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about our guidelines, excuse me. So there are some structural guidelines, right? For us, all of our members are women of color because we want to hold that space sacred and safe for women of color members.
And we're pretty uncompromising about that.
Yeah. And we discussed at the start, we really want to be trans inclusive and genderqueer inclusive in that way. But this is a space for women of color for us.
Right. So no white women, excuse me, and no men.
Yeah.
So y'all should read these books too. You will love them.
Right. Yes. If you want to create a white women reading women of color book club,
or just a women reading women of color,
or a men reading women of color, we super encourage you.
Or just humans reading women of color authors.
By that we mean just read these books and not Shakespeare.
Another interesting guideline, a more recent guideline that has come up, has been no guests, and that really took me by surprise.
So the no guests guideline came up, I feel like a few months ago, because we actually get very deep and very vulnerable in this space, and we talk about our lives and things that are sometimes very traumatic to talk about, and we want to create a very safe space. And there's been crying, and there's been, mm-hmm. I feel like I know these people very well now. And the idea to not bring guests in was just to not make the space a space where you don't feel like sharing. And I was I didn't think about this when we first brought it up, and people said that they don't want guests here, and I really understand that and thought it was like a really good guideline.
Yeah.
And then we have behavior guidelines, like I said, the be prepared for spoilers, trying to make it a comfortable space for quieter voices.
Yeah, in the beginning we did introductions, I think, for several months in a row, or anytime someone new came in, we did introductions with, you know, names and your favorite book or something about you. Because when you're just sitting in a circle of people and you're going to get that deep, you should probably know their name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think in terms of the information, the basic information that we share and is up in the Google Doc is your name, your birthday, because sometimes we like to send each other flowers and cute little gifts like that, as well as your favorite book, because, you know, we're here for the love of literature.
Yeah. What's your favorite books, speaking of?
Mine is not a woman of color author, and I really need
to... We didn't grow up reading them, so, you know, it's hard, because you love something you read as a child, usually.
And the thing is, I just feel embarrassed that it is that, because it's kind of boring. My favorite book of this year has been The Space Between Us by Thrithi Umrigar, and my favorite book of last year was Homegoing by Yaa Gyasi. But my favorite book of all time that I keep going to and reading is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte.
Own it. That's you.
Sorry, not sorry. I love that book. It's full of drama. I recently saw these hilarious temporary tattoos at Politics and Prose with the quotes from that book, and they're like pretty empowering and awesome. So I'll stand by it.
My favorite book, I feel like it changes all the time. And my favorite book I read this year is Disoriental. It's by Nizar Duwedi. She's Iranian-French, and I probably did not pronounce that right, but I tried. It's really lovely, and you should read it.
Is it fiction?
Yeah, it's a novel, and it's written not chronologically. So it's actually very interesting the way it's written and the way you find out about the person's life, and I would recommend it to everyone.
I would say my favorite book club book is actually next month's book. Are we allowed to talk about that yet?
Yeah, you say the name. Don't tell us the plot. Sing, Unburied, Sing.
Yeah, no Desmond secret. Ward. I think a lot of people have read it already. I'm excited to talk about it. But my favorite book of all time is The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster, which is a child's book.
And it's very funny, and it's very you.
I made Gabi read it.
You didn't make me, but I did read it. I enjoyed it. Some people haven't read Jane Eyre, just saying.
Yeah.
Who hasn't read Jane Eyre?
I haven't. Oh, okay. It's a lot longer than the children's book that I hold dear.
It is longer. All of these books you can access at the DC Public Library, just saying.
Very true.
And actually, it's really interesting because Sing, Unburied, Sing was one of those titles that was super popular for the past, I don't know when it came out, but like year.
Yeah.
There was just like, the holes list was like 300, and I was like, how are we ever going to get to this book? And now there's only one hold on it before me. What happened?
Everyone read it.
Moved on to the next.
Good for them.
Just a reminder before we move forward that you're tuned in to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, and we are broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
Woo!
All right, back to Women of Color Book Club.
Speaking of cool kids.
Any other tips that we can share with folks in terms of replicating book club? I guess if you need book list suggestions, again, go to our Twitter. It's WOC Book Club DC. We've posted all of the books that we have read so far since beginning Twitter.
Yeah, I believe. Also, I'll say when we started, I mean, Gabi and Madhvi were really gung-ho about this and excited, and I was just kind of the person who hangs out with them all the time and got dragged along, but also sucked in happily.
But also you're very enthusiastic generally.
That is true. But I would admit that I didn't realize that this was going to blow up at all in the beginning. And when we sent out the first email kind of saying, hey, does anyone want to read this book and hang out and talk about it? I thought, who's going to want to do homework to hang out? And everyone wants to do
it. Everyone loves homework.
People love it. So, you know, you can start out with just an email to a bunch of your friends saying, hey, does anyone want to read a book? and hang out and talk about it. And that's, you know, it's as simple as doing that.
And a plug for the DC Public Library, every branch has different types of book clubs. Feel free to, you know, look at our, peruse our list and suggest titles from our list that are read. You know, for example, the Mount Pleasant Library has a 20s and 30s book club. And I've definitely suggested Homegoing, and they've read and discussed Homegoing. But you can, you know, add mix these titles into whatever book club that you are in. And if you're needing a book club generally, DC Public Library already has book clubs. So, you know, you can go ahead and just sit into that structure instead of having to recreate it.
I feel like you should try to also be a little structured about it if you are creating your own, because we meet every month no matter what.
Right.
Like we will switch the date if a lot of people are out of town. But even so, 1 month we read a book and no one was in town except four of us. And the four of us met, and it was a small book club, but it happened. And I think that kind of structure, and that we'll read the book every month, is good, because then it doesn't, like, I know a lot of people whose book clubs have kind of fizzled out, and just having that structure is good.
Do you remember which book it was?
Yeah, it was Leila Kadivi's,
yes.
I don't remember the title.
It was
A Good Country.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd also say, like, an example of one of the new, this isn't maybe, maybe guideline is a loose enough word to describe it, but someone proposed recently that we have maybe three set questions that we kind of use every month to structure our conversation. So we've never done that before. Sort of the format of what we do is whoever proposed the book gives a summary of the book, and then we just have a loose discussion. And we always start a document with thoughts and questions, because again, this is a nerdy group of women people. People are taking notes, screenshotting quotes in the book, things like that. So we have plenty of that, but I think it was a really good idea that someone proposed to maybe have three questions that we revisit with every book club, so that you have some way to think about the book as you're reading it and sort of ease the conversation.
Right, like who was your favorite character? What did you love the most? What did you think of the ending? Things like that. That are evergreen questions. That's actually a perfect segue into how do we choose our books. I know that you mentioned it briefly, but I feel like even that process has evolved since we started.
Yeah, so when we first started, we let people have an unlimited number of suggestions, and then we would take them all and we would vote, and it became, like, the spreadsheet was so, we have a lot of spreadsheets.
We were so naive.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It was a lot, and they tend to, like, a few people would recommend 20 books, and then everyone else would recommend.
Feel discouraged, yeah.
Yeah, so what we do now is that every member of the book club suggests one book, and then we vote on the order. And then every 6 months we do it again, so that we can incorporate new books. And of course, books that were not read can carry over into the next.
Right. Just because they didn't make the cut the first time doesn't mean that they won't the next time.
Yeah, and we should probably add, when we first started, we were reading a lot of novels and a lot of fiction, longer fiction, and a lot of the stuff we read was very sad. Not to say that's bad. These books are beautiful and emotional, but there was definitely a meeting when we said, I think we need to shake up what we read, because there are women of color writing all kinds of things. So that's how we ended up reading
The Best We Could Do.
The Best We Could Do, which is a graphic novel. We also read Octavia Butler's Dawn, which is sci-fi, which I loved because I grew up reading sci-fi, which so much of it is white men writing about, you know, their own fantasies and ideas. And to read something written by a black woman starring, well, you know, starring as the character, the protagonist was a woman of color, was just mind-blowing to me and very fun. So it's fun to explore different types of literature.
I also think that book was awesome because we read it right during her birthday, I think. So
yeah,
it was just like perfect timing when the podcast came out.
Yeah, bookstores were promoting her books and other women who are writing similar fiction today.
And we're also adding nonfiction books now because that was a request. And I think we're reading When They Call You a Terrorist in a few months.
And I think we're also doing some YA, right? The Hate U Give is on our list. I'm really excited to read that.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about you two, and kind of the role that this book club has played in your life. Would you, what do you see as the book club's primary role generally, and how does that fit in your life?
I see it as having two roles to me. One is to make me keep reading, because
as if you needed help with that.
Some of us need help.
This structure helps because, like, if I have to read this book every month, then I have to get anything else I'm reading done in the first half of the month.
Okay.
So it's good.
Different.
It's good structure for me. And then the second part is this creating this incredible group of women of color who I've become close to, many people that I weren't close to before, and sometimes we go out after and do things, and it's such a wonderful space to have every month where you can just talk freely to people. And we had our 1 year anniversary last month, and it was just so emotional and amazing to just feel that everybody was so happy and positive about it, and mm-hmm. It's creating the space for all of us, and it's just such a great thing to be part of.
Yeah, I'll say, like a lot of people in this city and in this country, the issues that I work with at work can be really heavy, and you know, that's the work that I choose to do every single day. And I know for people who even don't do this work, the news is heavy often. And to have this sort of guaranteed meeting every month has been like a place to get energy and to get strength from other people, and you know, to sort of feel refreshed and to go back into things that are very difficult and require a lot of effort. It's just a beautiful thing to be surrounded by, you know, women who are strong and doing incredible things, and to laugh with each other and to eat with each other really helps do a lot harder things outside of that space.
You mentioned your work, and I have a question for both of you. Do y'all consider yourselves activists?
I don't know. I don't know what I like to participate in actions/organize actions, but I don't know what that really, like, I'm not good with the terms.
The vernacular, you mean?
I'll say, because of my work, I think I've thought about this more. I do believe that we have activists among the members of our book club, people who are, you know, unafraid and very eager to put themselves out there for causes that they believe in. I would say the work of this book club to me feels more like organizing. It's, you know, something consistent. It's something that we're trying to build. It's something that I think that we hope will go on for a long time, and is, you know, is less about doing something flashy to make a point, and more about building relationships. That's sort of a basis to build other things off of. And I know before book club started, I already had other, you know, friend working relationships with several members of book club. Like I said, Madhvi and I are both volunteers with another organization.
And now we
have more who are also members of our book club. But yeah, we're finding more ways to engage together, and people saying, oh, let's do this other project, or let's do other things. So to me, it's really building something real in this community.
Yeah, I mean, we had a survey that we sent out for the 1 year anniversary, and one of the requests actually was more resistance-based activities done together as a book club. But I would say those are, first, I mean, yes, being amazing women of color who create the space and participate in the space is an act of resistance in itself, but there is also, like, as a separate part, as friends, we are starting to do things together in an organizing kind of way.
Cool. I like that you mentioned that just existing as a part of the resistance.
Yeah, put it on Twitter. I will later, actually, after this podcast.
Great. How do you think, like, what do you envision for us moving forward in our book club, whether it is resistance related or just what do you want to see? You know, that was actually one of the questions that was on the survey. Like, where do you want to see? What is your dream for Women of Color Book Club DC?
I would love to make a more, I guess, structured guidelines for people if they want to replicate this. if they just need some help or a push through the door. And I would also, I think we should increase our queer representation, because we have not read any queers, trans, or any LGBTQ that I know of authors. And so that would be an important thing for us to do.
And actually, you bring up an interesting point. You know, I think it's really important that we create a safe community. Can you tell me a bit about why it's important that other voices and allies create or support, create either similar book clubs or support women of color authors?
I mean, it is wonderful and personal that we're a group who are trying to support people like us and people who have stories like ours. But we're not the only, women of color are not going to, you know, we're not going to be the only ones to change the publishing industry or to change the landscape for women of color who are writing stories. And these are stories that, guys, you want to read. Everyone can relate and feel something. They're incredible. So we are hoping and trying to create more space for that. But we're going to need everybody. I think kind of a theme in the past couple of years has been, you know, our joint liberation, right? Like every community needs to stand with each other. So we're hoping that, you know, other people will want to do the same.
Yeah. Can you, Amisha, share what you, like, what is your dream for book club?
Sure. I mean, similarly, I think that it was hard for us to have to stop accepting new members into book club, you know, as much as we needed to really get to know each other and to have this comfortable conversation with each other. I mean, sometimes uncomfortable, but a comfortable place for it. But I think it would be really wonderful if we started to see other women of color book clubs and then could, you know, party together. Not to, you know, reduce it to the simplest terms possible, but we've started having sort of happy hours that include friends of members of book club. And I think it'd be really cool to, you know, have several book clubs happening and then get us all together and celebrate that community, because this network has been really important to me and I would love to see it grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, wait, now I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. I'm going to talk about my hopes and dreams now.
Yeah, talk about it.
I would love to see what you said exactly, Amisha, is like more book clubs supporting women of color authors pop up. And I would love to see our allies turn out, whether it's men or white women. And it doesn't have to be like white women reading women of color books. You know, it just allies with more powerful voices really support women of color authors. I think that would be amazing. And we had this great author talk with Dhriti Umrigar, and I would love to be able to organize talks with authors more frequently, engage with them on social media, but really hearing directly from the author was so, it was my first experience, and it was so fascinating because she provided insights into the book that I otherwise never would have gotten, you know, a glimpse into. And it was fascinating to hear about how she develops characters and develops the storyline. And I just want more of that. And I would love, you know, I think everybody was really appreciative of that.
And to bring it back to allies reading women of color and other marginalized groups, I would say that we've been reading your experience since we could recognize letters. And it would be important for you to read our experience to truly understand this world.
Snaps to that. I don't know if you could hear those snaps.
I was snapping in my head as well.
All right. Well, I think that about does it. Any last parting thoughts before we wrap it up today?
Just read more and try to think about what you're reading and diversify. It will do you so much good. It did me so much good.
Yeah. If you're only reading nonfiction, check out some fiction. If you're only reading fiction, try it a different format. I mean, you might not love it, but I'm just saying everyone should read one sci-fi book in their lifetime. Okay.
Great. All right, we get it. You love sci-fi. This has been Women of Color, Reading Women of Color Authors. If you want to know more about us, check us out on Twitter. That's WOC Book Club DC. And this has been an episode of DCPL's Get Lit on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much to my friends Amisha and Madhvi for being my guests today. please visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library services and programs. We have plenty of book clubs that you can join. We have all of the books that we've read on Women of Color Book Club at the library for you to check out. Listen and download the show wherever you listen to your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio. Thank you all for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.